Blog Talk Radio.
Pour yourself a cup of tea, put your feet up, and relax. Show host Randy Fine, narcissistic abuse expert, compassionate counselor for clients worldwide, and author of the groundbreaking new book, Close Encounters of the Worst Kind, invites you into her sanctuary, a place where your emotional, physical, and spiritual well-being are all that matters. Time to Heal is a fundraising single written and performed by Johnny Z for the Amy Winehouse Foundation. For more information, please go to johnnymusic.com, johnnymusic.com. And now, it's time to meet Randy, show host of the podcast enjoyed by fans around the globe, A Fine Time for Healing.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. And I am your show host, Randy Fine. Today's special guest, Melissa Joy Johnson, is best known for her ability to engage people from all over the world to embrace their true, authentic power by playing in the field of the heart. Melissa has been teaching popular life transformational matrix energetics seminars around the globe since 2008. She's been doing this for a while. Melissa Joy Johnson is the founder of MJoy, a unifying we movement that provides a new language to experience self-love as integrity. As an intuitive coach and holistic practitioner, Melissa has a diverse client base in more than 25 countries. She is the author of the new release, The Art of Limitless Living, as well as several other books she has authored and co-authored. I think you're really going to like what Melissa has to say, and so we're going to get started so we can hear it. Let me introduce you to my special guest. Good morning, Melissa.
Good morning, and thank you for the great introduction.
You are so very welcome. So limitless living, really? Is that a possibility for all of us?
That's a great question to start the interview off, and it's something that I actually ask myself every day. And, of course, it's the title of the book, The Art of Limitless Living. And the answer is yes, it is a possibility for all of us. The question becomes, you know, how likely is it that we will allow ourselves to experience our own innate infinite potential because of our life situations and our circumstances. We relate to our environment through boundaries, through limitations. And so what The Art of Limitless Living as a book offers readers is an invitation to open into living fully from the heart, which gives us access to our unbounded potential. And it doesn't mean that, you know, everything falls away and suddenly you can fly. The Art of Limitless Living is a very grounded, practical, experiential guidebook for transcending our so-called perceived limitations and living peacefully within them.
Mm. Wow, that sounds awesome. Wow. What a goal for us to all have. And it's so hopeful to know that we can control that part of our lives. You know, there was something interesting that I read in your book, and you said your own light was muted and dimmed just to allegedly fit in. I know that you had some problems in your past that sort of brought you, you know, ultimately to this place. But, you know, I like that because I like that statement that your own light was muted and dimmed to fit in. So many of us do that, don't we?
Absolutely. And this is one of the premise of the MJOY teachings is to support people in being their own light. You know, we're sort of conditioned in society, in our families, and in the workplace to conform. And conformity, it's not really comfortable. And so we will often dim our light or make ourselves smaller in order to fit in. And what ends up happening is there's a form of self-betrayal that occurs. And when we learn to shine our light and to really radiate the truth of our core essence, then there is a loyalty that is a physics of integrity that allows for limitless possibilities to unfold. And it's a trial and error process because we, in many ways, aren't even aware that we're dimming our light. We simply think that's the way we need to relate to ourselves or relate to others in order to be accepted.
That's so true. So many of us do that without even realizing that we're doing it. And that's why, you know, it's so important to talk to you because it wakes people up. Just hearing that might touch the lives of so many people that all of a sudden will realize that they've been doing this. Yeah. So you say that self-love, authenticity, and integrity is within us waiting to emerge. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah. So I essentially define self-love, authenticity, and integrity as being one and the same. Authenticity, integrity itself is being undivided. It's at the physics level, it's being unbroken light. And when we allow ourselves to shed the confusion and the limitation and the distorted projections and reflections that we've historically identified with, in other words, thinking that we're less than or that we're small or that we need to be something that we aren't, when we stop playing that game, then self-love as being undivided and being our true authentic self naturally emerges. And it emerges from the heart. It emerges from this place within ourselves that innately knows ourselves as being whole and complete. And so The Art of Limitless Living as a book gently guides the reader back to that place of wholeness and completion that enables every single person to access that authenticity as integrity, not as a moral standard or something outside of ourselves that we have to reach, but as something that is within us that then naturally radiates out through choices, situations, and circumstances. And it's not this woo-woo, you know, I love myself, I'm so great, narcissistic, egocentric self-love. It's actually a self-love that follows a physics of symmetry that means equal service to self, equal service to others, where we value our own individuality, we value the individuality of others, and yet our wants, needs, and desires are every bit as important as everyone else's.
Oh, I like that. Equal service to ourselves. I'm writing this down. Ourselves, equal service to others.
It's in the
others.
Book.
I like that. Yeah, I like to just pull these little quips out of there because I like that. because when we think of self-love, so many people think that they're not allowed to do that, that their service in this life is to others. It's a conditioning.
Yeah.
And it we cannot live comfortably, successfully, and with integrity if we don't live with love and service to ourselves as well, right?
Absolutely. And one of the reasons that I'm such a fan of physics, and I weave physics throughout all of my teachings, is that the physics of not loving self actually creates a skewed geometry that then ricochets back into our lives as untoward circumstances. If we're not loving ourselves, we're literally running on empty. And then we will look to others to fill us up, or we will become what I'm fond of referring to as resentfully supportive, where we're giving so much in the name of service that there's almost this implied expectation that because we're making these sacrificial services to be, quote, compassionate without giving compassion to ourselves, that we expect something in return. And then that's actually not a physics of compassion. So when we're giving to ourselves compassionately, we actually have more available to give to others. And the physics maps this in such a way where equal service to self, equal service to others allows for our inner worlds to map to outer circumstances that creates the art of limitless living.
So well explained. I'm so glad that my listeners are getting to hear this, because you've presented it in a way that, you know, and like you say, through physics, some people are just are stuck in that place. Like, I just can't. So you say that that there is great value in recognizing that perhaps we did the best we could do in the past, that we were equipped with the information and resources we had during those experiences. And you question, is it true that who we thought we were in the past made us who we are today? So what is really true? What defines us? Is it our past and our stories? What defines us? Our experiences? What is it that, how do we define ourselves?
That's a great question, and the answer really is individually derived. What that section of the book is opening the reader into is an invitation to recognize that we are so much more than our stories. We are so much more than our experiences, and that who we were in the past may not necessarily define us, because we are both a physics of predictability and a physics of possibility. And so if we're constantly defining ourselves based on our experiences in the past, then we're going to confine ourselves to what has occurred in the past. Whereas when we allow ourselves to recognize, all right, we have these experiences, they've given shape and form to our sense of self, but they aren't definitively limiting ourselves, then we are able to transcend the experiences of the past and open into infinite possibilities. So it's not about completely letting go of your story, because our experiences are valuable. They're springboards into growth. But it's also more than defining ourselves by our stories, because we are so much more than that. And a lot of times we become victim to our own stories, and we rigidly adhere to those stories, and then we think that's who we are. Does that make sense?
Oh, my gosh, yes. It is so true. You know, the thing that I work those that I work with, my clients for who have been narcissistically abused, often their stories haven't been told, and that's a real problem for them.
Yeah.
And it's important that they get those stories out. They don't have to keep them inside and just remember that that's a part of them. I think first it's important to get those stories out. Once they're out and we've had a chance to look at them, then I absolutely think that we can remember them, but we don't have to be of them. And I think that's really what you're saying.
I absolutely agree, 300%, if that's even possible, because the expression of the experience, it's a form of self-validation. And being able to truly authentically express an experience, particularly when self has been you know, perceivably or conceivably violated when there's been a lack of respect in a relationship, it's so important. Where we sometimes trip ourselves up is when we then identify so strongly with the story and we get attached to the story that we can't actually move beyond the, we could call it victim-perpetrator dynamic. And so it's a fine line, but the expression is absolutely necessary. Speaking our truth, hearing our truth, honoring our truth is it's crucial to soul loyalty, and that's a facet of integrity.
Yes, so well said. You know, and sometimes, you know, we get many of us get caught up in the family that we came from and what our role was there, and we affix ourselves to those people, their stories, and instead of moving on and saying, you know, we went through that family, but we are not just of that family. We're of so much more. So I like that. I'm just checking. Consider that our experience of reality is more than the sole result of individual creative impulses. Rather, reality is a function of complex interplay of interconnected variables. What are those variables? What are those interconnected variables?
Simply stated, other people's choices, collective paradigms. You just mentioned a moment ago, you know, we're born into our family. Okay, if we follow this notion that we create our own reality, well, then if we grew up in an environment with two narcissistic parents, and we're not even aware that we have narcissistic parents, we're continually going to encode that we're not okay, that there's something wrong with us. And particularly if we think we're the sole creator of our reality and we don't recognize that, no, our experience of reality is a result of the choices that other people are making that influence us, it's an important distinction. You know, I hear a lot in the New Age community, like, you know, we create our own reality, and then I look at what's happening at the collective level, and I say, well, okay, I know at the deepest level of reality, everything's unified, so at that level, I'm responsible for what's happening collectively, whether we look politically or economically, but at the level of the individual, I'm not solely responsible for everything that's happening because other people are making choices too, and that interplay is what I refer to as the we experience. And being able to respond appropriately, recognizing what we are creating as individuals and what is happening to us, that's the dance of empowerment.
So true. So, you say that our individual experiences are entangled with everyone else's individual experiences. So everything in reality is in relation to itself. That's really a heavy, heavy statement. What do you mean by that?
Well, everything's interconnected. We live in this very, you know, dynamic web, if you will, and in this interconnected system, if you change one part of the system, the entire system is affected. It's the physics of hologramming, which is explained real easily in The Art of Limitless Living. And so what readers learn to do is to fully occupy their space in reality, if you will, and then to recognize the interconnected, interrelated variables, and then to choose points of access that can allow for desires to manifest as experiences. Nothing happens in a vacuum, even though everything comes from the vacuum. And so if you change one point in the system, the whole system is affected. It's you know, Gandhi was a physicist when he said, be the change you want to see in the world. There's a physics to that. And if we're constantly looking outside of ourselves in order to make those changes, then we're losing access to the power we have to be that change.
Yes, so true. And so That takes a lot of introspection, doesn't it, to be able to, and I know that you give the tools and everything in the book, but to be able to identify where you let off and others begin, and that's really the basis of the boundary system, to understand that and then integrate it into what's comfortable for you.
It's a deep rabbit hole conversation in that one of the things that can be tricky, because boundaries are important, and a question that's often asked by my students is, all right, if everything's one, then how do I maintain boundaries in a unified field? And one of the interesting conundrums with boundaries is that if we have very rigid boundaries in order to honor our individuality or to protect ourselves from so-called boundary violators, well, then we are encoding for an inherent limitation. So one of the things that I teach in AmJoy is a concept called fluid boundaries. And fluid boundaries really enable us to freely and flexibly navigate through challenging situations and circumstances without defining in advance the way we need to show up. Because let's say we have a boundary violator or say a narcissist in our orbit, we will typically develop strategies in advance to anticipate our boundaries being violated, and we'll develop a rigid boundary. What that can do energetically is actually entrain a boundary violator to become more intelligent and to circumnavigate that boundary. And so fluid boundaries really allow for a freedom and flexibility to maintain authenticity and integrity in the moment and to acknowledge what needs to occur right then and there rather than defining in advance. It takes a little bit of practice. I know, you know, personally, with the boundary violators in my life, you know, I always want to have a strategy because I know what's coming. And what I found is that if I have a strategy and I know what's coming, usually that boundary violator is smarter than I am. And so if I don't have a strategy in advance and I can be flexible in the moment, I can usually outmaneuver that manipulative pattern. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It makes sense. You know, I think that for those of us who have no idea what a boundary looks like,
yeah.
And there's many of us that don't. We just it has been non-existent in our families and therefore non-existent in our lives. So I think at first it's important, but I always say, don't create a boundary that you cannot effectively enforce the consequences of, you know. So you don't want to set something up so strong that when somebody crosses it, it's like, oh, no, now what do I do? So I think boundary setting happens, it can happen gradually. And I think that sometimes, for some of us, it needs to start off a little more rigid until we get the concept, and then we can step back and we can use it to our advantage. How do you feel about that?
Oh, I absolutely agree, and I would add, never create a boundary that you can't change, because a boundary that might serve you in one situation or circumstance may need to evolve over time. And with respect to what you just shared, another principle that's taught in the Art of Limitless Living is this concept of I love you and no. And what that at a physics level means is that, you know, when we're struggling with boundaries and we're enmeshed in situations and circumstances that we don't even recognize are violating our core essence and our individuality, we kind of continue in the name of love. It's like, well, you know, we love our family members, or we justify the behavior in the name of love. And what I love you and no sets up at a physics level is that the love that is in relation to others, that's unconditional. But the conditions that we are willing or not willing to participate in, those have parameters. And so there's an open space of love, and within that open space of love, there are some boundaries that we are willing or not willing to participate in. And that can be a great place to start, particularly if you have no reference for honoring boundaries. A lot of times we just think this is the way things are. This is the way the relationship functions. We don't even recognize we're being bullied. We don't even recognize that our wants, needs, and desires are not being honored. And so being able to bring in a template or a grid of love with some rigid boundaries that then can change over time is a great way to start honoring your own authenticity and integrity.
Wow, thank you for that validation. Yes. Okay, so we're on the same page. We really are.
Oh,
every
yeah.
way.
Absolutely. It's a tricky game. It really is. And I think recognition is key. Awareness is power. I know as I look back at my own life or I look at the evolution of many of my clients, a lot of times people aren't even aware of these patterns. They aren't even aware that there's a disequilibrium of power occurring in relation to others. And becoming aware of it is the first step toward reclaiming that true authentic power.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So you talk about the integrity effect. What is the integrity effect?
Well, the integrity effect, the acronym TIE, because I love language and acronyms, but the integrity effect is the result of living and embodying heart-centered awareness and authenticity, living within a house undivided, if you will. And what the integrity effect fosters at the physics level is its coherence and congruence. And what that means is that we are undivided within ourselves, and then we make congruent choices that are aligned with the true callings of the heart, such that our situations and circumstances without reflect the inner environment of our heart. And so the integrity effect is, it's the physics of the we experience. It's living equal service to self, equal service to others. It's honoring our core essence and recognizing our unique individual place in this world, not separate from the all, but as an extension of the all. And the physics of it is, it's a physics that allows for true authentic desires to manifest as actualized experiences. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Really, yeah. I love your perspective, and I mean, I love your approach too, you know, this bringing physics into it. This is cool because some people really relate to the scientific aspect of what's going on rather than just kind of emotional aspect of it. And so you're presenting it both ways. And I think that you're speaking to pretty much everyone when you do that.
Thank you very much. And to me, the physics, it's just another way of mapping love. And the physics and the science gives our mind something to comprehend. But really, it's just different ways of mapping consciousness, of mapping reality. I personally like the physics because it gives me something tangible that takes the esoteric sort of woo-woo component to manifestation and experiences, and it brings it down into something that my mind can logically follow. With that being said, understanding the physics is not at all necessary for students and readers to benefit from The Art of Limitless Living. In fact, I wrote this book without a lot of physics because I wanted it to be accessible to more readers. Some of my earlier books are very heavy on the physics, and if people run a program that says, I don't understand science or math scares me, well, then they will push the information away, or they tend to push it away. So The Art of Limitless Living is kind of written like I'm sitting in your living room, Randy, and we're having a cup of tea, and I'm just talking to you. And there's some heady concepts in there. The understanding the heady concepts isn't necessary to derive benefit from the information. Some people say just holding the book changes them. Some of my readers actually sleep with the book under their pillow so that they can absorb the information. I've got a lot of readers that like to just open the book randomly at a page and realizing that there's nothing random. Synchronistically, they will gather exactly what they need to read in that moment to help them through a situation or circumstance. So the book is, it's a lofty goal to write a book that will appeal to everyone, but I attempted to infuse a little bit of everything, whether it's science, whether it's love, whether it's practical experiential references, so that there's multiple access points for readers to transform.
Yes, and that's very smart, because when people hear things a different way, sometimes it resonates. So they could hear the same advice, recommendation, whatever it is, 100 times, and then somebody will say it a little bit differently, and all of a sudden they'll be like, oh, I get that. So your approach is really wise, because when we approach it from many different points of view, then it allows us to grasp onto something that resonates with us. So let's see. Words, deeds, and actions are all energetic containers for the essence of integrity to flow. How do you mean? What does this mean? Words, deeds, and actions are all energetic containers for the essence of integrity to flow.
So sometimes we will define integrity based on words, deeds, and actions. In other words, we'll say this person is integrous because they made a certain choice. And what I'm inviting the readers to recognize is that integrity is within us. And then our words, deeds, and actions are extensions and expressions of that which already is within us. And so when I was referencing the integrity effect a few moments ago, I talked about coherence and congruence. So words, deeds, and actions are aspects of congruency where we are undivided within ourselves, and then we make choices. We speak our truth. We take action that is in alignment or congruent with the integrity of being undivided within ourselves. And so the difference at the physics level is that if we're defining ourselves by our words, deeds, and actions, rather than defining ourselves from within and then letting those words, deeds, and actions follow, then in essence we're kind of giving our power away to those words, deeds, and actions, and it can almost become like a moving target that constantly evades us. It's like saying, as soon as I do this, then I'll be okay. And so it's like an if-then meme that continually programs us to be on pause for whatever that because is. And recognizing integrity is within us, and then we make choices that are aligned with that integrity, it's a different physics that is centrally focused, and that's what allows for that symmetry to unfold. It's
right.
Kind of a high-level concept, but I think you get it.
I don't know how high level it is. I mean, I think the way that you explained it is. No, it's just basically who we are is, you know, how we should shine, what should come out of us. We should always be aligned with who we truly are rather than what the expectations are out there and who we feel we have to tiptoe around and those kind of things.
It's hard, though. I mean, I'd like to say easier said than done, but,
right.
When you spend years being conditioned a certain way, that becomes your conditioning. And you, when you're inside a particular environment, you just think that's the way things are. Recognizing, no, that's just a container. That's just a particular atmosphere. We can change the weather pattern, change the experience.
So true. So true. This is just brilliant. Brilliant. I love your approach.
Thank you.
What happens with... you say broken integrity creates wounds that lie before us, and that initially the wounds may only be scratches or scuffs that we overlook or mask or just cover it up. But what happens when we leave these unattended?
Well, when we are consistently betraying ourselves in the name of conditions or circumstances, that broken integrity gets woven through the fabric of our reality. And so I was describing it metaphorically there, almost like the skin, which is our integumentary system. And you know, if you have a wound and you don't attend to it, well, that wound will begin to fester and it will create an infection that then influences all of the interconnected systems of our body. And when we betray our soul, when we are living out of integrity, there is a systematic breakdown in our experience of reality. In many ways, it can show up as a physical illness, or it can show up as what I call the ricochet effect in the art of limitless living, which is when we're supporting situations and circumstances that we're out of integrity with, we will get ricocheted. Our situations will start skewing sideways. Our life will look like it's being blown up, and we'll say, I don't understand what's wrong here. And understanding that there's a physics to that, and that the solution to that ricochet effect or to life skewing sideways is to return to integrity, to return to the heart, to return to our core essence, that's very, very empowering. It's easy to say, oh, I feel stuck, or I've moved so far away from even knowing what my own integrity might mean. How am I possibly going to find my way back? And the answer is, you can always find your way back home. You can always find your way back to that light within you, that core essence as integrity, because it never went anywhere. We simply moved away from recognizing what already was.
So true. So what do you say to those, to my listeners who are saying, wow, this is all so cool. This is great information. Where do I start? Where do I begin with all this?
I would say go online right now and buy your copy of The Art of Limitless Living. It's available in print, ebook, as well as audiobook, narrated by yours truly. So it's in my voice, which can be a good thing or not a good thing, depending upon how you resonate with my voice. But many people like the audiobook because it again feels like I'm sitting there having a conversation. I would say pick up a copy of The Art of Limitless Living. Visit my website at www.mjoyheartfield.com, and it'll probably be at the bottom of the interview or in my bio. And come out to a live seminar. I'm actually going to be in your hometown this next weekend. I'll be doing some book signings on September 27th. I'll be at the Barnes & Noble Fort Lauderdale from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. September 29th, I'll be in Miami at Books & Books doing an author discussion and book signing from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Coral Gables location. And I'm also teaching a seminar, the MJOY Integrative Seminar, which is open to everyone, September 29th and 30th at the Bahia Mar Fort Lauderdale DoubleTree by Hilton. So lots of opportunities to deepen the experience of our discussion today, but the easiest way would be to get a copy of The Art of Limitless Living and just read.
Yes, I agree with you. And you tour all over the United States, all over the world. You just got back from Indonesia and Australia, and, you know, you've been to some pretty exotic places. Are the people of those areas, you know, because different cultures approach things differently. So how are you received by different cultures?
Beautiful question, and I did literally yesterday just got home from a six-month round-the-world seminar and book tour, the Art of Limitless Living tour. And throughout the 6 months of travel, I really questioned this notion of the Art of Limitless Living because, you know, I was in some countries where limitless possibilities are cloaked by environmental conditions or by economic conditions or political conditions. There's a lot of people living in oppressive environments, and I was questioning, you know, is limitless living really possible when you have these limitations that really, really are abundant? And what I've come to recognize in the last 6 months is that the Art of Limitless Living is about embodying your joy and your innate potential within the boundaries and parameters of those limitations. And so my message is actually well received universally because it's very practical. It's not, you know, ignoring what appears to be happening and having your head in the sand. It's taking a very viable look at the conditions and the circumstances and the prevailing paradigms that are influencing our experience of reality, and then learning to navigate from an empowered place. Because you can live with a limitless consciousness within a limitation, and you will not be bound by that limitation. You actually can transcend it.
Hmm. Yeah, wow. Amazing. I like
Well, people are amazing. We really are. We don't give ourselves enough credit.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about, we only have about 2 minutes left, but before we went on air, we were talking about, you know, how adversity almost propels us into needing to find this kind of thinking, because if we're not, if we don't have adversity, we tend to coast. We live through life like la 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 la, you know, like, okay, next, 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 and we're sort of robots. But when we've had adversity, we are woken up to have to find a different way. Don't you think?
Yes, I do, and at the same time, I caution us against thinking that we must have adversity in order to grow, because then we'll actually, at a physics level, we'll tend to attract adversity in order to evolve. And I think that a certain amount of adversity, dynamic disequilibrium is there to propel us forward, and I don't think it is absolutely 100% necessary. In other words, we don't always have to do things the hard way. I think the hard way, the challenges can serve us, and that's not the only way. And
Thank
I actually entertain
that.
Yeah, I entertain that notion in The Art of Limitless Living because, you know, personally speaking, I used to think things had to be really hard. I had to work really, really hard. And if I wasn't challenged, then I wasn't really living up to my full potential. And what I realized was I was running an undercurrent of not feeling worthy, of not feeling good enough, and that I needed that challenge in order to justify my own insecurities. And it was tripping me up. And so I would create chaos in order to justify growth. And I think we can grow with flow and ease and grace as well. I think both can serve us.
Wow, I love that. Thank you for clarifying that. And you are absolutely right. I completely agree with you. I guess, you know, because my work is all with those who have suffered adversity, I guess I see it in a tainted way. But you're absolutely right. We all have that possibility. It just, I guess, sometimes pain is an impetus for growth, and that's,
Absolutely, and I don't think you see it in a tainted way. I think you see it very clearly, and I was simply opening an additional access point because that's what can allow us to move from always having to suffer to realizing that maybe we suffered in the past and maybe moving forward we have a different choice that can be available and we can still
Absolutely.
Grow.
Absolutely. Yes. I don't believe we have to live in pain. I just believe that sometimes, you know, it can just propel us forward a little faster. And so that's a way to maybe look at our pain in a positive light. So anyway, well, we are out of time. This has been incredibly wonderful. Thank you so much for being my guest. And your website is mjoyheartfield.com. So I encourage all my listeners to purchase the book, The Art of Limitless Living, and visit Melissa's website for more information. So thanks again for being my wonderful guest. I really appreciate it, Melissa.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed this. Take care.
Good. Take care. Bye-bye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com. And I hope to hear from you. May joy and serenity always be yours.
We hope you enjoyed today's programming. To learn more about Randy Fine, read her articles, or to make a counseling appointment with her, please visit randygfine.com. That's RANDIGFINE.com. Or visit her on Facebook at Randy G. Fine.